Welcome, everybody, to episode one of the Gospel Talks podcast. And the whole mission of what we're doing with this podcast is to equip believers all over the world in relational evangelism and discipleship. And so with me is the founder, the writer of The Exchange, Jeff Musgrave, and I'm George Binoka, his co-host, and we're here to equip you guys. So, I mean, Jeff, you want to talk a little bit about what's the reason you wanted to put this podcast together?
I believe that God wants believers to have confidence when they carry the gospel, that I can see God use me to transform lives with the gospel. Mm. And I believe that most of us don't have confidence. We're afraid of it. Some of us wonder whether it really works. Mm. And so our whole desire is to help people genuinely grow in a confidence that what God asked me to do, He equips me to do. And we want to give people the tools, the equipment that they need to be able to be effective.
Yeah, it's really important that we arm you guys, but we just want to tell you guys that there's power in God's word. And so you don't have to feel like you have to go out there like all these insurmountable bulletproof arguments or other worldviews, and it's an anti-Christian culture. And no, I mean, we're going to work through all that right here.
Yeah, and there is no silver bullet.
Right.
I mean, some people are going to believe and some people are not going to believe. We just have to understand that's really the truth. I love what Paul said. He said, I am become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And I just think that's interesting. He's got all these alls in there.
And then some.
Yeah. So we could say that not everyone that you give the gospel to is going to get saved.
Yes.
We can say that with confidence. But I think we can also say with confidence that if we give to the gospel to enough people, some are going to get saved. So the key is, am I going to live that all-in world or life that Paul is living, all things to all men that I might by all means, and I believe if I do, that God will give me some.
Right. Well, the question that we're going to be asking today for the podcast, that the topic of discussion is, where do you start with an unbeliever? I mean, we're thinking about atheists. I mean, atheist, no framework for God, unchurched, you know, knows what TikTok tells them about the Bible and nothing else. And so they're kind of critical, maybe even intellectual about the whole topic of God and originality of man and all that. So where do you start with somebody like that?
Well, I think the very first place we have to start is prayer. Mm. We have to remember this is not based on what I can do. This is based on what God is doing. And so my wife Anna, we've built a little tool that we use for our own lives, and we've shared it with others through The Exchange, that we call our Find Five list. And the idea is that we are living with this list. If you've never done it before, you got to start. of five people in our sphere of influence that we've identified as needing the gospel. And sometimes God just lays people on our hearts to be able to put on that list. A little acrostic, you might use the word fans, F-A-N-S, friends, associates, neighbors, strangers. You say, well, I don't know any strangers. Yeah, but you will. You will.
Yeah, that's right. Look for them. You'll find them.
Yeah, God's going to bring people into your life. He's going to.
That's right.
So if we're looking for people, God's going to bring them into our life. So put them on a list. And I think the very first thing is just to pray for them.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you ask God, bring people my way so I can give them the gospel, and you've prepared yourself to do that.
Yes.
He will help you. Now, if you're unprepared, you're not ready, and you're not asking, you can't just expect God to drop somebody who's looking for something more in life. You actually have to be in Finding Five prayer. That's the first step. So, you know, how do you pray?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was with some Gideons once, and they were praying, and they prayed for open doors, open hands, and open hearts. And I thought that was very interesting. They wanted open doors into schools, into army facilities where they could pass out Bibles. They wanted open hands where people there inside those open doors would take them.
Accept it, yeah.
And then they wanted open hearts that when they got it, they would let the Bible penetrate their heart. So with me, this is kind of how I convert that to my life. Mm. Open doors. Lord, give me open opportunities for gospel conversations. Mm-hmm. Open hands. Give me people who have some gospel receptiveness. They're mm-hmm. they're into this. They're getting it. And then number three is open hearts. People who are willing and eventually become gospel Jesus followers. That they trusted Christ. They've mm-hmm. received the gospel, and God has transformed their lives. So open doors. Open hands and
open hearts.
You may be asking yourself, how could I get Jeff to teach me specifically? We have a course we call the Exchange Online Sharing Jesus Through Relational Evangelism. It's a video course that you can take in the comfort of your own living room. You can do it on your own time frame. It basically covers the same things we cover in Exchange Seminar, except for you get to do it one-on-one. The course has 19 sessions, and each one of them will answer questions. How do I even start a conversation? What if I'm asked a question I don't know the answer to? And many other things you're going to find yourself helpful. We share the gospel, invite you to learn how to share the gospel, get it out of your mouth, articulate it yourself. There's discussion groups in which they ask questions of me specifically so that you are saying, yeah, that's what I wanted to know. And you're going to find that everything you need to know about how to effectively articulate the gospel in a relational way with your friend is right there in that course. If you're interested in taking the Exchange Online, I suggest you just go to our webpage, exchangemessage.org, and click the banner right at the top.
What's interesting, you know, is you start to pray for people, okay, and so now you're looking for somebody, you're looking for an unbeliever. I know that, you know, it's easy to put people in categories, so it's like easy to brand somebody, okay, they're an atheist. So all atheists are the same. But no, all atheists are not the same. And this is one of the things I love about the Exchange. The Exchange admits there's no one-size-fits-all solution to this. And so, how do you deal with the differences in people and just the difference personality and background and all that stuff?
Well, I think the very first thing we have to do is get to know those people and so build a relationship with them. I love to think of it as relationships are powerful conduits for the gospel. And it's when mm-hmm. I get close to people that I now begin to figure out who they are, what their backstory is, what's causing them to think the way they do. And so just spending time with people, having those shared experiences with them, eventually we get close to them and we're able to figure out where they are and what they need.
So, you know, I was actually arguing with somebody on Tuesday. There's a guy who grew up in an era of evangelism where you could knock on a door and just confront people about their sin. And, you know, supposedly that you'd see results. And you know, I don't want to discount that experience. But what I want to say is, and what I had to say to him was, no way on a doorstep you could build enough. So when you say relationship, I can't build enough relationship in my mind of what it takes to broach the topic of the gospel on a doorstep or in a drive-thru to actually have meaningful gospel effectiveness within that person's life. So how much relationship is enough relationship? Like what extent of relationship are you talking? Because some people, they totally take
Let me ask you this. Okay. How much time does it take to get close to someone? Well, the reason you're not answering is because you don't know. I mean, everybody's different. Right. I mean, literally, there are some people that within a half an hour, I feel closer to them than I could imagine. Huh. I was sitting on an airplane one day and sitting next to a man, and he was telling me he was going to visit his 13-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, I assume this is, an estranged dad. Well, come find out. This man had literally raised this girl by himself since she was 2 years old. And at the age of 13, he realized there's needs that she has that I can't give her. He was in the process of moving to where his mother lived, and she, his daughter was staying with his mother for just a little bit of time until he could move there. And he started telling me a story. And there was one point in their life where she had been kidnapped and he had to go find her. And it was, there were probably three times in this conversation, it took about a half an hour or 45 minutes, in which both of us were crying. And it's like we were bosom buddies. And that all happened in just one little plane ride. So it was really simple for me from that point to just look in his eyes. And his name was the same as mine. So I looked in his eyes and I said, Jeff, where does God fit into all this? And it wasn't a strange question because we were down there on that level. So, I think we can't say how long it takes. Some people hold us off and it takes forever. And then some people, they let you in right away. So it, you know, how long it takes is really not possible. What I'm looking for is how do I get into a conversation that from that place in the conversation, talking about Jesus is a justifiable turn. So in other words, we're talking about heart issues, soul issues.
Sure. So. And I know one of the things that's big in your mind is investing in people. So it does take serious investment. In that case, it was a short amount of time, but it was still a deep investment because, yeah. I mean, the emotional transparency and, you know, you're connecting with this person, you're listening, you're crying together, you're praying for each other. It's like God allowed a great jump in relationship very quickly if we were to chart it on a graph like the stock market. But there are other times where it's a much slower, steadier process. And I love that story you told about the guy who went fly fishing.
Yeah.
That's kind of expensive.
Well, it is. And I think that in this particular instance, he would tell you that I've been friends with this guy for like 10 years, but the day I took him fly fishing, our relationship took on a whole new dimension, and their relationship went immediately deeper, and it was not but about 3 weeks later that something difficult happened in the other man's life, and he came and asked. He said, "You know, I know things like this has happened to you before, and you don't seem to be so." And literally, he said, "I feel helpless and hopeless." He said, "I kind of believe you've faced these same things. You don't seem helpless and hopeless." He said, "Do you think it has something to do with your religion?"
What a great question. You just talked about soul needs. So what are you waiting for to manifest? What do you mean by soul needs that is an indication that you're ready to get into the gospel?
Well, I think it's interesting. Sometimes people ask me, how do you direct a conversation to the gospel? And if we're talking up here on the surface and we're talking about the weather and, you know, the Super Bowl win and all of those different things, it's like, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about some fears that I'm struggling with or need of love in my heart, and this person has opened their heart to that level, man, it's really easy to get there. So I have a friend who has identified, and he may have learned this somewhere else, but he taught me five specific soul needs that every human experiences. Loneliness, because every soul needs connection. So every single human needs connection, and those who don't have it experience loneliness.
Right.
Emptiness, because every soul needs purpose. And when we don't have a sense of purpose, there's a sense of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, because every human soul needs security. Yeah,
that's a big one.
That's a big one, especially in our day, because the world is falling apart and a lot of people facing fears today. Love, because every human soul needs to love and to be loved. And then this last one, guilt, because every soul needs forgiveness. And the fact is that we're all broken. And every single one of us have something in our life that is plaguing us, and we need relief.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, actually, for me, one of the reasons I became a pastor is because I was broken. And then, like, God brought these people, and they swooped in and helped me in that state where I felt I was undesirable, which is the reality of what God does with us. We are undesirable. We are broken. We are under. We have these big needs. We're not these put together perfect people. And then He comes in that state and says, "I loved you. Not that you first loved me, but that I first loved you, and I sent my Son to die for you." And so, so just in reviewing what we've kind of built up to this point, it's prayer, friendship, and you deepen that as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, in fact, I try to aim at those soul needs. So I'm going to on purpose deepen relation or conversations. Mm-hmm. If you study the life of Jesus, you'll see everyone He talked to, He's always deepening, and often with a question.
Right.
It's just really interesting to watch it.
Yeah.
I feel like the two main skills for conversations that all of us should try to develop would be the skill of asking good questions and the skill of listening well, because those two things bring me into a trusting relationship with people, and over, they begin to share these soul needs with me.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people feel obligated to just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and that's actually really bad, because usually you're going to say something that's like confusing or contradictory, and number two, what they need you to do is listen and care.
Yeah, and we can ramble and
yeah, yeah.
It gets a little tedious sometimes. I think that one of the things that I recognize is that even when a person gets to these soul needs, we're still not to the gospel. So this is the way I like to see those soul needs. Mm-hmm. A soul need is not the gospel, but it's right next door. So whenever I actually listen for these particular five soul needs, because when I hear a person beginning to express their own inner sense of loneliness, when I begin to hear them expressing this feeling of emptiness or fear that they're struggling with, or a need in their heart where they've been hurt in regards to love, or maybe even a guilt issue, then I know, okay, we are right next door to the gospel. So what I try to do is, number one, listen carefully, because they need someone to care about them. Everybody needs someone to see them and care. And then identify with them.
Yeah.
I certainly have experienced that soul need too. And you don't want to ever replace their hurt with your hurt.
Right.
So don't try to compete.
Right.
But identify. And then, so, you know, I find that it's my relationship with God that helps me with my fears. Wow. Let me ask you a question. How would you describe your relationship with God? And boom, we're right there talking about the gospel.
And that's the key question on the front of the exchange tracks is, how would you describe your relationship with God? Which is an incredible question, because I've found even atheists have an answer. And even if the answer is, well, I don't believe in God, that's a type of relationship. You know, we'd call that ignorance, you know, and I know eventually we're going to come around to talking about, you know, what that looks like. We're not talking about that in a derogatory sense. We're talking about they just have decided they're not going to want to know God.
Someone said to me this last week, if they knew better, they'd do better. and I think that we just got to be a little kinder to people and recognize if they knew better, they'd do better. they just don't know. We got to help them.
Yeah, one of the best books on marriage I ever read is What Did You Expect? Which is basically to say, you married a sinner. It's like, what did you expect? So you're talking to an atheist. What did you expect? Yeah. So, and we just have to be ready for those questions. And I love that we start that way. It is about a relationship.
Yeah.
And people now, more than ever, I mean, just look at the stats. Look at, you know, the dissatisfaction people have with social media and how it drives a lot of them to depression and suicide and all the things going on in our society. It's just like, this is a broken world in need of relationship. Relationship is the missing thing. People are stuck in their phones. They're stuck in the internet, or they're just lonely, and they've got these, I love the way you say it, soul needs. Yeah.
So I love this, that if I genuinely believe that the gospel is the answer to their need, and that God, the Holy Spirit, is wooing people to Himself, and that the gospel is going to be effective, then it kind of sets me aside. I don't have to convince them. I don't have to feel like I'm in a conversation or an argument to convince them. I can just walk alongside of them and love them. Hmm. And then in the process of loving them, share who Jesus is with them.
Yes. Yeah. And you can be that evidence of God's care and love in their life. I mean, that was instrumental for me. I came to Christ because somebody was preaching a message about the love of Christ, and I had seen it in a Christian who was in my life.
Yeah.
It had seen it in them, and I'm like, ah, it clicked. This is real. But you know, I know that doesn't answer all the questions about how to talk with an atheist or somebody, but I think that's a helpful process. You pray, you be a friend, you build a relationship, you invest, and then when they start to manifest and are comfortable enough coming to you with, this is a deep soul need in my life, now you know that you're one door down from the gospel.
Right next door.
Yeah. Well, guys, that was episode one of Gospel Talks, and this is a podcast that is part of the Exchange Ministries. And so if you like what you hear, if you found it helpful, share, subscribe to the podcast, sign up for our newsletter. We have lots of tools, things we want to arm you with. We want to arm you to the teeth with gospel effectiveness and different things that can help you as you're on the front lines. Pray with us as we pray for you that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.